This psalm is a psalm of David, written by David, and the occasion is unknown. But what we do know is that David seeks to praise the Lord with his whole heart. He opens up there in verse 1, he says, I give thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. It reminds us, does it not, of that the opening words of Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. In that Psalm 103, David is speaking to his soul, and he's saying to his soul, soul, come on, praise the Lord. And here's the psalmist this morning, and he's saying, with my whole heart, I praise you. I wonder, are you here this morning to praise the Lord with your whole heart? Are you simply offering lip service? David in this psalm is thanking the Lord for all the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord which he had experienced in his life. You'll notice there, and this is just by way of passing a passing comment on one of the verses, verse 3, where David says, on the day I called, you answered me, my strength of soul you increased. It's interesting that the Lord answered David. When did he answer him? He answered him in the day that he called, in the day when he pleaded with the Lord. The Lord answered him. But the Lord didn't necessarily answer him by taking away his trial or his difficulty. And the Lord doesn't always do that. The Lord didn't remove the thorn in the flesh for Paul. The Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And here the psalmist is speaking about his strength of soul being increased. How precious is that? But as we come to this text this morning, I first of all want us to see the believer's confidence. The believer's confidence. Notice what David says in verse 8. He says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. The psalmist sees him as a God who, by his very nature, fulfills. The psalmist David had his confidence in the Lord. It was a divine confidence. A divine confidence. You see, David did not say, I have enough grace to fulfill the Lord's purposes for me. My faith is so strong that I shall not fail. My love is so warm that I will never grow cold. No, his dependence was on the Lord. You see, my confidence must not be in what I can do or in what I have resolved to do, but entirely in what the Lord will do. The Lord, then, is the Christian's divine confidence. Listen to Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He says, we can never be too confident when we confide in the Lord. We can never be too confident when we confide in the Lord. Now you'll notice the word will. It says the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. The psalmist's confidence was a confidence for the future. It was not only what the Lord does for us, but what the Lord will do. Isn't that tremendous? A confidence for the future. He looks at his life. And he feels that what God has done and is doing, he will carry on to the end. See, you'll notice the psalmist does not say, "The Lord may." It does not say, "I hope he will." No, he says, he does not even say, "I will trust he will." But he says, "He will." The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that thrill our hearts? I wonder, do we ever ponder this truth? That the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. But notice, secondly, the ground of this confidence. The ground of this confidence. He says, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever." You see, a person who is truly in Christ, who has been born again of the Holy Spirit of God, who has been saved by grace, who has been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and who have that assurance that they are eternally secure, can say, "Your steadfast love endures forever." You see, that person is not depending upon their own merits. They're not depending upon their own strength of faith. No, they believe that the Lord will fulfill his purpose for them. Why? Because the Lord's steadfast love endures forever. David was resting in the steadfast love of the Lord. He had proved the steadfast love of the Lord in his own life. And therefore he was singing of it. It's wonderful, isn't it? To look back at the end of another year and to be able to thank God for his steadfast love. That truth is brought out in the final verse of Psalm 100. And no matter what trial or what difficulty we've been through or going through, we can always testify to the faithfulness and the steadfast love of the Lord. You see, the steadfast love of the Lord is an unchanging love. It's unchanging. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You might be having a bad day today, but that doesn't change the fact that the Lord's steadfast love endures forever. It's enduring. It's with you through that darkest moment. And it's maybe in those darkest moments that you prove that truth to be a reality. But notice thirdly, the result of the believer's confidence. The result of the believer's confidence is this, and it results in prayer. The psalmist says, "Do not forsake the work of your hands." What's the psalmist doing by praying these words? Well, he's turning his expectation into petition. Because you see, the Lord will never forsake his people. If we are in Christ this morning, we're saved through all eternity. We are eternally secure. We are his workmanship. Go over to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 2 and verses 8 through to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, we are his workmanship. And he's not going to forsake his workmanship. I'm sure, like myself, when you travel throughout the country, you come across a property, a bungalow or a house that is a builder has started to build. But because of lack of money or energy or whatever, he's abandoned the project. If you have a bit of spare time and you go onto eBay or Gumtree, I prefer Gumtree because the price is what it is, and then you can go and you can bargain the price down. You can't do that on the eBay price. But sometimes I would look at a vehicle on the Gumtree, and it would have included in the advert, unfinished project. Well, I'm not really interested in unfinished project because I'm totally handless. I want the thing complete. But then we have an illustration of it in creation. God Almighty didn't start with day one, and the end of day one said, well, that's enough. He didn't create the land and not the sea. He didn't create the moon and not the sun. No, he went on the next 5 days until the work was completed, and what he saw was very good. And beloved, we are, if we are in Christ this morning, the work of his hands. Paul brings it out in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. That which he has begun, he will complete. Why? Because he's paid the highest price for our salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to redeem us from the penalty of sin, which is death, that we might have eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what he has begun, he will complete. Because he delights in his people. He has set his love upon us. Well, let's go to the Song of Solomon, chapter 7 and verse 10. And there you read, I am my beloved. And his desire is towards me. It really means his heart's desire is towards me. You see, we're precious in his sight. We're precious in his sight. Just when we're in the Song of Solomon, we read that he is the altogether lovely one. That he is the fairest of 10,000 to our soul. But listen, he sees us as the lily of the valley. He sees us as the rose of Sharon. And for this reason, because you gardeners will know that a lily and a rose is something to be cared for, and the Lord cares for his people. Isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? He's paid the highest price for our salvation. Listen again to Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He says, if the Lord begins to build and does not finish, it will not be for his honor. He will have a desire to the work of his hands, for he knows what it cost him already, and he will not throw away a vessel upon which he has expended so much labor and skill. And therefore, do we praise him with our whole heart. How great is the gratitude that is due to God from his people. How innumerable are his blessings. How vast is his mercy. How rich is his grace and loving kindness. What encouragement the sinner has to seek God, seeing he is a God of such mercy. Those of us who are God's people, rejoice that we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, who now appears in the presence of God for us. Do you have confidence in the Lord this morning? Let me ask you something else. Where is your confidence? Is it in your faith? Is it in what you can do? Is it in your righteousness? The psalmist's confidence was in the Lord, because the Lord had paid the highest price